You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Play is the thing. Or, all work and no play just might get your ass kicked. The importance of play in martial arts training. In an earlier edition of this commentary series entitled It's a Natural Fact, I asserted that humans are the only species that create martial arts styles, and the only species to exercise for the sake of exercise without being coerced by humans, as we do with racehorses, for example. The closest that other species do come to practicing their fighting skills and getting gratuitous exercise is in the act of play. Play is, in my opinion, an important element in a martial arts program. The very concept of play, however, can be a bit fuzzy. One man's game is another man's ordeal. For the sake of discussion, let's imagine what I will call the work-play spectrum. This spectrum is different for each martial artist. On one end of the spectrum are the techniques, exercises, and drills which you personally find the most boring, intimidating, grueling, or whatever other negative adjective you would apply to an activity which, while you realize its value, is still a chore to force yourself to do. At the other end of the spectrum are those training activities which you find to be the most fun. Now I'm mindful of what I'm up against here. One of the most important attributes to develop in young martial artists is a strong work ethic. That's a given, not subject to debate. But, especially as Americans, and more especially as those of us who draw elements of our value system from Northern European culture, we tend to attach cultural baggage to our work ethic. Baggage that comes from our dour, humorless Protestant ancestors. Baggage that promotes the feeling that anything fun smacks of moral weakness, and is somehow not productive, practiced only by slackers, and ultimately a waste of valuable time. The very thought of fun can conjure words of shame, like foolishness, frivolity, nonsense, and worst of all, sin. In my opinion, this kind of narrow-minded thinking is short-sighted and counterproductive. A judicious mix of work and play can yield better results than either one alone. By definition, play is more fun, but fun, being such a subjective term, can be tricky to nail down with a definition. Let's take sparring as an example. Sparring can fall in a different place on the work versus play spectrum depending on several factors. 1. The particular approach or approaches to sparring taken at your academy. 2. The particular place in the hierarchy of sparring effectiveness, real or imagined, occupied by the student. In other words, how well he sees that he spars compared to other students. 3. The level of dedication of the student. If the type of sparring practiced at your academy is of moderately high to very high intensity with hard contact, and if the contact and intensity level stay roughly the same, no matter the skill level or physical size of the students participating, the sparring is only going to be fun for a very few participants at the top level of skill. Many students dread intense sparring for a number of reasons, some of which are 1. Fear of injury, 2. Fear of humiliation, and 3. Fear of disappointing their instructor. If you want to hear a more thorough discussion of the pros and cons of high-intensity sparring, I did this in the edition of The Martial Brain entitled The Scientific Method and Realism in Sparring. If the sparring rules of your academy encourage the students to at least sometimes, if not most of the time, keep the intensity level towards the playful end of the spectrum, you should see much more enthusiasm regarding participation among your students. Play reduces the pressure and drama, especially for the underachieving students, and for the students whose physical attributes are degrading due to aging. In a commercial academy, play helps to retain the less serious students, making it better for business, although you should be sure to educate the gifted students to understand this principle and to appeal to their self-interest to help keep their gym open by being playful with the less gifted students. If possible to do safely, reward the gifted students with higher levels of intensity with other gifted students. One of the greatest enemies of an ongoing martial arts group or academy is student dropout. One of the leading causes of dropout is burnout and staleness from boredom and overtraining. A playful workout can be a great antidote for training burnout. A good way to inject a sense of play is to utilize focused drills, or games if you will, to narrow the scope from that of wide-open free sparring. This is done by limiting some of the freedom of the students, but still allowing them to play within those parameters. There are so many possible ways to do this that I can only scratch the surface in this format. Examples that already exist include, in the Filipino martial arts, the series of drills known collectively as Hubut, Wing Chun Kung Fu's Chi Sao, Tai Chi's Push Hands, Focused Grappling, Muay Thai's Clinch Sparring, the Hand Fighting of Wrestling, and Judo's Grip Fighting. Limited sparring and role-play sparring are other examples. Limited sparring is a versatile tool of which I make extensive use at my academy. The limitations to the sparring can be applied evenly to both students, or more limits can be applied to one student than the other, allowing the instructor to creatively handicap the more advanced students and give an edge to those less advanced. The limitations imposed can include 1. Limiting the weapons. I frequently have the students spar using only their jab. 2. Limiting the limbs. For example, having the students sometimes box with one another as opposed to kickboxing. Other examples include using only the lead leg or lead hand. 3. Limiting the environment. This can be forcing one student to spar while standing in a corner, or against the ropes, or sparring in a hallway, or with a tree in the middle of the sparring area, or a low-hanging tree branch occupying a portion of the sparring space. Role-playing sparring imposes a personality onto one or both students. Examples of these personalities might include a grappler with no striking skills, a striker with no grappling skills, a long-range fighter, an inside fighter, a fighter who only counterattacks, an aggressive brawler, an elusive runner, a drunk, someone who feels no pain, and someone who acts irrationally. Imposing a personality on the student that is different from his or her actual personality, especially when done in a low-pressure, low-drama environment, can help draw out enthusiasm and creativity. Perhaps the greatest power of play is that when you remove pressure and expectation from the training, you empower creativity. When the student, especially the underachieving student, is desperately trying to survive whatever drill you have imposed on him, he is probably not using a significant amount of whatever powers of creativity he may possess. If, however, you inject at least a bit of play into his regimen, you just might be surprised at the martial beast you unleash. And then, when he begins to realize his true potential, you will probably find that he will want to do more of the work-oriented drills without you even pushing him to do so. As in most things, the answer is not binary. It's not a question of either work or play, but rather to strike a balance and find the sweet spot on the work-play spectrum. Or to put it more poetically, the playful should grow more serious, but the serious should also grow more playful. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. Contact me with questions about The Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.